Argue, argue, talk, 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 exaggerate, argue, pontificate, argue, just talk, shut talk, up. Talk, why won't you listen? Argue, why won't shut, you see? I know the story, just listen to me.
You're better off when you're spouting off. And now, here's your host, Karen Cataline.
And good afternoon. It's afternoon in some portion of afternoon in the lower 48. I have no idea what it is in Alaska and Hawaii, but maybe someone will call and let me know. We are nationwide and we are live right now. It is April 24th, 2018 when we are taping this. You may be listening to it later on a podcast. I'm happy to say that this is our 30th show. That's 30th show. And it just keeps getting more fun all the time. I cannot think of a time where it would be more fun and more exhilarating to do talk radio when issues national and local are just bubbling up everywhere. The hardest thing that I do is trying to decide what to talk about, not what to say about it, but just choosing a topic. So I have a lot to get to today, and we have a wonderful guest that we will hear from in our second half hour. His name is Julio Rivera, and I'm sure you're going to want to stay tuned to listen to him. He is, let me just give you a little tease as to what he's all about. He is a self-described reformed Democrat, and he became a staunch supporter of conservative policy and politicians. He writes for Newsmax, Lifezet, The Hill, which isn't exactly conservative, The Washington Times, Clash Daily, The Toronto Sun, and he has a website, Reactionary Times. Can't wait to ask him about that. We're going to talk about Kanye West and a whole bunch of things with Julio Rivera, so that'll be after our commercial break. But I get to spout off for the first half hour, and as I said, there is just no shortage of things to talk about. As I was looking at the things that I wanted to make sure and mention this half hour, it occurred to me that they all had something to do with. This has been my topic for a long time now, and I'm going to continue to talk about it. This is an ancillary portion of that, which is the Me Too movement. This idea that women, by virtue of their chromosomes, need to be put on a pedestal all over again. It's like we're putting women back in the gilded cage. We've got this new Puritanism going. But what I was struck by is that women hardly march in lockstep. It's interesting that if you're a conservative woman, you don't count as a woman to the left. There were some fascinating quotes this week, and I'm going to go ahead without further ado and ask Doug, our producer, to play cut one here of the always fascinating to watch and one that the left is fond of hating. You know, when you get the left hating you, you know you're on the right track. And this is a woman who the left loves to hate, Sarah Huckabee Sanders. We're going to play the whole cut. It's not very long. And then we'll play the money quote, as I call it, which you probably have heard this week. Go for it, Doug.
White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders hopes Democrats will change their minds about Secretary of State nominee Mike Pompeo. Pompeo is facing stiff opposition from the Senate Foreign Relations Committee for his confirmation hearing. And to that, Huckabee Sanders told Fox and Friends,
"Look, at some point, Democrats have to decide whether they love this country more than they hate this president."
Those who oppose Pompeo say that he is overly conservative, lacks strategic vision, and disagree with his past statements against Muslims. But Democrats up for re-election in red states this year have a tough decision to make. A failure to get the committee's backing will not necessarily derail Pompeo's confirmation. He could still get enough votes in the full.
lacks strategic vision. That was a news report from a local CBS affiliate, I think. And so this is in connection with the Mike Pompeo nomination in order to replace Rex Tillerson, who was very much an establishment kind of guy. And Donald Trump preferred Mike Pompeo, who was the director of the CIA and is still. My understanding at this date is that Mike Pompeo will be confirmed by the skin of his teeth because Rand Paul agreed to vote for him after getting some reassurances from Donald Trump that they weren't going to be nation building, as has always been the establishment view. I was never worried that Donald Trump was going to nation build, but here's what I find fascinating. For the first time in at least several presidents where the establishment presidents, be they Republican or Democrat, have kicked the can down the road again and again, that's Bush and Obama, because basically they are wimps. Along comes Donald Trump. We know that Mike Pompeo had secret meetings in North Korea, and now something's happening in North Korea, and it is for our benefit, not theirs. They have agreed to stop their nuclear testing. Trump appears, and we're still watching this, you know, we got to be circumspect, but Trump appears to have North Korea on the ropes where he can at least deal with them and get them to stop their nuclear testing and stop aggravating the rest of the countries in the world, because this little guy is a real troublemaker. And you remember that the left constantly, there isn't anything they don't criticize Trump about, but they were horrified when Trump called him Rocket Man, little Rocket Man. And boy, oh boy, have things turned around. Again and again, people do not understand the Trump strategy. And that's good for all of us, because Trump keeps winning in spite of opposition that we've never seen before. But back to Sarah Huckabee Sanders. I loved this quote. I loved this quote. Doug, play cut two for us so you can hear what this quote is all about. It's great.
Look, at some point, Democrats have to decide whether they love this country more than they hate this president.
That's a beautiful thing. And that applies to so much that we're dealing with and watching happen. Here you have Mike Pompeo, who clearly is being effective, but the Democrats cannot bring themselves to put our country and our country's interests first in front of their politics. I would submit to you that anything that hurts this country, weakens this country — this is an outrageous thing to say, I know, but you have to be an idiot not to pay attention to this — anything that hurts this country, they're all for. If you have an unabashed pro-American who wants to keep America safer, to keep our borders safer, to keep us safe from madmen like North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un, who has harmed his own people, well, that they're not too worried about. So bravo, Sarah Huckabee Sanders. And I hope that she wears the hatred from the press, from the left, from the left-wing establishment, the so-called progressives. I hope she wears that as a badge of courage. As someone local says all the time that I listen to, a talk radio host, Peter Boyles, he says, "You are known by your enemies." And if you got enemies like that, Sarah Huckabee is doing the right thing. So that's the first quote. We might get back to that some more. Our guest, Julio Rivera, is going to talk more about this. But here's another quote that I just thought was great. Let me see if I've got it here. The story and the reason that I invited Julio Rivera on, and as I say, we will be talking more and more about that in the second half hour, is that Kanye West, not somebody that I know or listen to on a regular basis, I'm going to have to pull this up. So hopefully I can pull it up here and get it. I don't have it. Doggone it. Where was it? Oh, there it. Let's see. Read the quote. It tells me to read the quote, but I don't have the quote. So let's see if I've got it under Julio's portion here. Let's see. No, I don't. Candace Owens is a lovely, gorgeous, impeccably smart, recent conservative. And I spotted her at a David Horowitz event. And she was so articulate that I knew she'd be a star. And sure enough, she is. And what happened this week, and I don't have a quote in front of me, I do apologize, is that Kanye West, a rapper, somebody that not exactly in my era, had the audacity to say that he likes the way Candace Owens thinks. This was huge. This was huge because Candace Owens left the plantation. She left the government plantation and realized that Black Lives Matter and all of the demagoguery that helps the left keep Black people scared, feeling like victims, hateful towards whitey, and simply always a reliable liberal voter. Candace Owens figured out that that was a ruse, that that was really designed to help liberals keep Blacks in line. All they really have to do is look at every liberal-run city in this country, from Detroit to Los Angeles to Baltimore, and every single one of them are hellholes because Democrat machines run them. And bit by bit, Blacks are being able to figure out that the hatred that they are constantly being incited towards is what keeps them down. And if the Black community can police itself and be able to stand up and say, you know what, rioting and hating cops, and by the way, cops are the ones that keep law-abiding Black people safe in crime-ridden communities, which they can't afford to get out of. If they can stop loving victimhood, they are living in the greatest country in the world. And who are the people that are hated more than any conservative? Black conservatives who dare to speak up for the truth. And Black conservatives always have been among my most favorite ever. I absolutely encourage you to look up Candace Owens. She's hot right now, so you'll be able to find her anywhere. But I noticed her a long time ago at a David Horowitz Restoration Weekend event, where she told the story of how she decided that she'd been lied to for a really long time. And so if you are a Candace Owens or a Larry Elder or a Thomas Sowell or any one of a number of Black conservatives, you run the risk of being called an Uncle Tom, or, I mean, even Blacks are called racist. They don't really care. I mean, logic really doesn't matter to them. You know, if they can call Bill Clinton the first Black president, they can call Herman Cain a racist. And they have done so. But here's the biggie. Kanye West, a real icon in Black communities. I think he's a rapper. Don't quote me on that. But I think he's a rapper. Not my kind of music. You know, my kind of music is Beethoven and bluegrass. But anyway, Kanye West said he likes the way Candace Owens thinks. And he followed it up with several tweets saying that it's time to stop being a victim. And if you live in the past, and I'm paraphrasing, then you're doomed for your future. This is wonderful because it's causing more people who aren't everyday political watchers to pay attention, to what they're buying into. And the left loves to keep people angry and hostile and full of rage, kind of an entitlement sort of rage. You didn't do this for me, so I hate you. If I didn't get what I wanted, you must be a racist. This isn't what our parents taught us about personal responsibility. And I venture to say there's a huge conservative, personally conservative Black community who know that they didn't teach their kids that way either. So God love Candace Owens. And I may have to check out Kanye West's music. I don't know if it's going to be my type, but I'm going to listen anyway, because Kanye West is starting to think outside the box. And here's something I've always wondered about, or thought that if we could only bottle this a little bit. And that is, if you have a choice of ideologies between one that is committed to keeping you dependent, to keep you needing them, which in social work we used to call enabling behavior or codependent behavior, and you've got this other ideology that doesn't think that there's anything you can't accomplish, that isn't trying to make you dependent on them, even if it means not voting for them, if they have an ideology that says, you know what, I'm colorblind and I'd rather judge people. And it is, by the way, here's a dirty little secret. It is okay to judge people, especially when you judge them on character, when you judge them on accomplishment, when you judge them on integrity. But it is okay to judge people by their accomplishments and by their character rather than the color of their skin. I don't know. I kind of vaguely remember somebody in 1968 saying something like that, and his words have totally been bastardized. His words have been exploited for something he never stood for, and that was, of course, Martin Luther King. I'm no expert on Martin Luther King, but I do remember some of the things that I grew up not only hearing but being taught about what he stood for. I don't think he stood for rioting in the streets and feeling entitled simply because you're Black. I wonder what Martin Luther King would say today about what has happened to the so-called civil rights movement. I think it's been stood right on its head. Okay, so that's two women. Here's the third. And this is amusing. Amusing. We have two women who are trying to hold people accountable. Sarah Huckabee Sanders, who wants to ask Democrats to stop hating the country, to start loving the country more than they hate the current president. Not going to happen. I'm a cynic. I'm a skeptic. Not going to happen. But it was a great line. And then we have Candace Owens standing up and bringing along people like Kanye West, who can hopefully bring along a lot more to get more Black people off the plantation. As I say, we'll be talking to Julio Rivera more about that. I'm sure he has some interesting thoughts. And then comes along the third quote, and I don't have a quote of it, a sound of it, because it is something that is in an upcoming book. A new book highlights the former presidential candidate's gripes about the election. We are talking about none other than Hillary Clinton. She just never goes away. She's the gift that keeps on giving. And you know what? Just like Nancy Pelosi, for once in my life, I hope she keeps on talking, because she epitomizes the insanity, the obliviousness, the tone deafness of the left. Her quote, "They were never going to let me be president." That's what she said on election night 2016, according to a new book about her White House bid claims. Now, ironically, this book is written by a friendly person to the Clintons and to the Democrats. Let me see if I can find her name here. Just so, I mean, if you want to go out and buy it, you'll know who to write, who to go. Fox News is, where is her book? It's Chozick. That's her name. Chozick is the name of the writer. And she also goes on to say in this book, this is great. If you want to know the rest of the story on the basket of deplorables, here's what it is. The first group, Hillary divided Trump supporters into three baskets. You're going to love this. Times reporter, mind you, Amy Chozick's book claimed. The first group is allegedly made up of Republican supporters who didn't like Clinton and would always vote along party lines, the outlet said. Second basket is reportedly those who Clinton described as those who feel that the government has let them down. You think? But that is way too overly broad. She thinks people who want the government to get off their back is the same as the government letting them down. That's a really important distinction. It's not that a lot of those Trump voters who Clinton does not and never did understand and has great hatred and disdain for, it's not that they think the government let them down. Well, they did. The government did let them down. You know what the government let them down in doing? The government let them down in restraining themselves in order to protect individual freedom. That's how the government let us down. The government let us down in forgetting the Constitution, that the Constitution exists to restrain the government so as to give ultimate and maximum freedom to individuals. That is what liberal progressives, the left, are trying to dismantle in this country. It's really quite obvious, and that's why it's important for people to understand what they're really after, because they don't always say what they really want to do. And the most famous of the basket of deplorables was basket number three, which included probably what Hillary thought is the largest group, and that is deplorables that are racist, sexist, homophobic, xenophobic, Islamophobic, you name it, the outlet said. So it works for the left to put as many Trump supporters, conservatives, and other people who don't agree with the left in that giant basket of racists, homophobics. We all know that. That is a way to isolate them, according to Saul Alinsky's book, and to diminish them and to hate them, to give license to the most tolerant and diverse party, the left, give them license to hate anyone who disagrees. And we are seeing that today. But the real thing, the reason that I brought this up more than any other, is this quote of Hillary's: "They were never going to let me be president." You really gotta love that. With all her resources, with the benefit of tons of money, with selling 20% of our uranium so that she could get $145 million from the Russians that she supposedly was not colluding with. Don't you love that? How many of us can do that? Sell somebody else's uranium, like, say, the United States of America's citizens? Sell our uranium so that you can get $145 million for your campaign. The willingness to lie, to cheat, to steal with impunity, and still Hillary Clinton is a victim. Such a difference in mentality, isn't it? Blaming everyone but herself. She's guilty of crimes for which she should be behind bars. She's caught in crime after crime after crime. Never in a million years would she ever admit to them. And yet, here's the quote. There is no sound of her saying this, but a friendly writer who actually likes Hillary said that Hillary said when she was told that she didn't win, there were some other things she allegedly did, like threw a champagne bottle through a flat screen TV that she received as a gift from the Saudis. I don't know if that's true, but I've read it. But what she did allegedly say was, they were never going to let me be president. So she still sees that she needs to ask permission. Or she also sees that somehow this is a gift bestowed upon her, not something that the voters offer as a vote of trust to our civil servants. Hillary never saw herself as a civil servant. Hillary saw the rest of us as her servants. Hillary had a sense of entitlement. All the way back to the Watergate hearings, she was a Republican in name only back then, and she was fired by her boss for being dishonest and being willing to lie. And that has been the MO of Hillary Clinton for decades. It's only unfortunate that it took us this many decades to be able to see her clearly. And I have to say, with all of her resources, with all of her willingness and ability to lie, cheat, and steal, she still didn't win. Boy, you know, when you can cheat with impunity and still lose, and then turn right around and still blame others for your failures, that's rich. So I could move on, but I have only a couple minutes before our break. Well, let me just say this. So those are the differences in quotes right now. I want to say one quickie thing, and I have a lot to say, about the royal baby being born yesterday, I guess it was, the third child. Now, you know, I'm sure the child is lovely. It's a lovely family. But it always reminds me that Americans have lost that sense of awareness. Some Americans, some more have not, that we are not a country that reveres royalty. We don't make kings and queens and princes of human beings. It's one of the reasons why socialists love to elevate people into that sort of divine rights of kings, because with the divine rights of kings comes centralized management and tyranny. And America is exceptional because we didn't want that. That's why it killed me to see football players, American football players, go and kneel for our anthem and stand for the British anthem. That is the biggest outrage I've seen in many, many months. This, the country to which we are now friendly, Great Britain, but who we won our independence from, I guarantee you, none of those football players knew that. They had no idea that we won our independence from this very Great Britain, for whom the king was imposing his will halfway around the world on our founders. And that's why they came up with this brilliant document of the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. So let us remember not to worship and revere human beings that are made into kings and queens and royalty. God willing, we're the people that look to a higher power, to God as we perceive him to be, and not to man. If you want to know one good reason to believe in God, it's just knowing with some sense of comfort that man is not God in his own universe. Because if so, that's not really a country, not a world I'd want to live in. So I could say more, but I'll leave it there. Let's go out to our commercial break, Doug, if you wouldn't mind, with that beautiful single quote from Sarah Huckabee Sanders. I hope You remember it because I know I will. Go. We'll be right back.
Look, at some point, Democrats have to decide whether they love this country more than they hate this president.
Hi, I'm Corinne, a student at Hillsdale College. Here is president of Hillsdale College, Dr. Larry Arnn, on the threat of bureaucratic despotism.
One of the chief sponsors of the Dodd-Frank finance reform bill called that legislation, quote, about as important as it gets, because it deals with every single aspect of our lives, end quote. And how does this legislation deal with every aspect of our lives? In the most unconstitutional way. It sets up a board called the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, which has the power to regulate our economic transactions independently of both the President and Congress. In other words, permanent government employees are placed in charge of us beyond the control of those we elect, the control of we the people. This is a violation of the representative form of government without which there can be no constitutional government.
This Constitution Minute was brought to you by Hillsdale College. To receive a free pocket constitution and declaration, go to constitutionminute.com.
Do you have a secret that's been bothering you? Have you been wondering if what you're thinking or feeling is normal? Is there someone with whom you've needed to clear the air, but you haven't been able to find the right words? Sometimes you need an objective, second opinion to help you see your problem more clearly. Ask Aunt Emma, and she'll help you move past what's getting in your way. She's a former therapist who is wise and caring, but instead of therapy, she'll give you terrific advice. It's free to ask Aunt Emma and explain your need, problem, or question. If you both agree, you pay only $1.39 a minute. It's anonymous, it's confidential, and you'll be surprised at how effective it is. You can ask Aunt Emma by going to facebook.com/askauntemma. There, you'll find her phone number and extension number. That's facebook.com/askauntemma. Ask Aunt Emma today.
Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? We are happy to inform you that there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. It's a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. You choose your doctor and hospital, starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all kids. For more info, visit libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
Welcome back. This is Karen Cataline, your host of Spouting Off, and I am delighted to have with us Julio Rivera, who is a self-described free-thinking analyst, a leading voice in America's Latino journalism community. He serves as the editorial director of ReactionaryTimes.com, as well as a featured columnist for TheHill.com, Newsmax.com, LifeSet.com, ClashDaily.com, the Toronto Sun, and the Washington Times. Quite a resume there. Welcome to Spouting Off, Julio Rivera.
Well, I'm very excited to be here, Karen. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, yes, I'm delighted too. I noticed that you had quite a lot of thoughts about this story that just came out about Candace Owens, of this ongoing little saga. And I am particularly fond of, I guess you could say, minorities within a minority. I happen to be, I call myself the putting the Judeo in Judeo-Christian, because I'm a nice Jewish girl, but not always so nice. And so I appreciate minority groups who've had the courage to stand up and question the typical orthodoxy. So tell us a little bit about how you came to be, shall we say, a little more on the right. I hope a lot. Tell us about your journey.
I like to say more conservative Rican, which is kind of a little moniker that I use, because I'm a conservative Puerto Rican. But all jokes aside, I actually started out as a Democrat, I think, when I was younger, just like a lot of people that grew up in the community that I did. I think I kind of got lumped into the default Democrat sort of group that a lot of us do. I went from that, into the military after my high school days were over. At that point, I started to see a little bit, and I went in during the period where, Bill Clinton was president, and he was very pro-cutting funding to the military. And I saw the way it was making the military suffer, and that was a red flag and a matter of concern for me. And then through the years having a child, worrying about what kind of world we were leaving our children, both socially and economically. And then obviously, going into private business and working in the private sector, I saw, all the stumbling blocks that the businesses that I was working for were running into. And just knowing that it was caused by big government kind of made me go the other way on things. So I went from not only becoming going from being a Democrat to becoming a Republican, but going all the way towards being a conservative activist.
That's wonderful. What are you working on right now in the conservative activism world? Is there a pet project or pet topic that that you've been talking about before we get into Candace and Kanye? That has a ring to it.
Exactly, Candace and Kanye. That could be the next show on CNN, Crossfire style show. I've been working more or less. I've been doing a lot of tech cyber writing. Really, I have a concern with the way that this next election cycle is going to play out. We know that there was some semblance of interference in the last election cycle. There's a lot of things going on. I just wrote a piece that'll be up shortly. That's going to be detailing a new bill that came out in Georgia, SB 315, which criminalizes white hat operations, which are necessary in order to find, to find the weaknesses in our cybersecurity to go ahead and strengthen in advance of the election. So that's a matter of concern. I'm also
volunteering
with the Steve Lonergan congressional campaign here in New Jersey, win this seat back for the Republicans. Yep.
I'm sorry so much, but did you say white hat operations?
Yes, white hat operations.
Tell us what that is, because I don't want anybody to be. I don't know what that is.
An IT department or an independent IT firm goes ahead and tries to test the vulnerabilities of a company's computer network, or it could be somewhere in the public sector to see what their susceptibility is to hacking. So what it is, you basically attempt to hack yourself to see whether or not you have a hole that obviously you would need to plug in advance of an election, which is basically this bill in Georgia was spurned by an independent IT researcher trying to see what the vulnerabilities were in Georgia's election database, which had been hacked, and he was able to actually access it very easily. So that's kind of what spurred this bill that is currently sitting on Governor Deal's desk in Georgia.
And they're trying to criminalize it? They don't want people to find out the whole...
You accidentally stumble upon information that you're not supposed to have, even if your intention is not insidious, that it would be punishable by fines and jail time.
That's preposterous. It sounds exactly perfect for the times in which we're living. You mentioned the election, the midterms. Obviously, us political junkies are watching that. Do you believe there's going to be a blue wave as they are predicting?
No, absolutely not. I mean, I just think that this is just hype. It's very speculative and it's based on nothing. I mean, if you look at the Democrat Party, if you remember polling back from Inauguration Day, around the time that Trump first went into office, the Democrat Party only had, as a party, a favorability rating of only 30%. Nancy Pelosi, who's the leading Democrat in the country, only had a favorability rating of 19%.
That's high.
Exactly.
What are those 19% people thinking? I don't get it.
Exactly.
I agree with you. I agree with you totally, Julio. I think that the Democrats are spectacular, have been in the past, of creating the story that they want everybody to believe, hoping that it will come true. If you tell a lie long enough, it's kind of like Russian collusion and all of that, which isn't even a crime. But they have so little credibility. Why would any Republican ever believe that this blue wave is real? I mean, I don't doubt that there is some enthusiasm for hating Trump on the left, but what's it backed up by, you know?
Exactly. And if you just look at the economic results for some of the key demographics where the Democrats usually outperform Republicans, look at Black voters, Latino voters. The unemployment numbers for both of those groups are at, you know, near historic lows, and the economy and opportunity has gotten a lot better for those people. So, you know, people like myself who's Latino, and Black Americans. So why would there be, you know, again, it's like you said, you know, you tell a lie enough, you hope that it comes through true. You hope that you dissuade Republican voters from coming out and voting if you can convince them or trick them into thinking that they have no chance.
You gave me the perfect segue, which leads us right into what happened this week with Candace Owens and Kanye West. I explained it at the beginning of the hour. What's your take on it? Because I see you have a lot of thoughts on it.
Okay, well, I look at it like this, and it's very simple. I think that the Democrats are still caught in the 1900s. I mean, I think that they still think that they have ownership of certain demographics of Americans, namely Black Americans. They also feel like they have ownership of Hispanic Americans, just like they feel like they have ownership of the women, the female demographic. You know, and Candace Owens hits on two, you know, checks two of those boxes, and the left is losing their mind, you know, based on the fact that you could be Black, you could be a woman, and you could be a strong, proud conservative as well. You know, I think it's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. You know, Kanye West obviously coming out and saying that he loves the way that she thinks, and even to expand upon that, saying that there needs to be a deprogramming in the Black community. And I love the way that he used that language. You know, that actual particular phrase is perfect for it because, you know, minorities have been programmed to think that the Democrat Party is the party that cares about their issues. The only thing that the Democrats have done for Black Americans is make them dependent on government and commit a mass genocide against them in the form of what's being executed at Planned Parenthood.
Well, and not only that, but the inner cities are just completely run by Democrat machines. And so they're taught not to ever look at the results, only look at the intention. And the intentions aren't good either.
Exactly. I mean, if you're talking about, you know, and I did a story about abortion not that long ago. And it was somewhere, some really horrific number, somewhere like 900,000 babies are aborted about every 6 months. So you're talking, and somewhere, I believe the number was something like over 70% of those are Black. So,
yeah,
I mean,
and if
what
you
are
were
Democrat
to mention
doing for Black Americans, keeping them on welfare and killing them, quite frankly.
Well, if you were to mention Margaret Sanger to the average Black person, they would not know the significance of
exactly
Margaret Sanger at the. And for our listeners, in case you don't know, she was a eugenicist. She supported
exactly
abortion because she wanted to reduce the Black population. You think most Black people know that? No, they don't.
Exactly.
They don't.
She referred to them as human weeds, is actually what she referred to them. And she has a connection to Hitler. But the only connection to Hitler that the Democrats care about is this phony one that they keep trying to tie, you know, Trump to it, trying to paint him as some sort of a fascist.
Yeah, it's really rich to have the left, which are the biggest Jew haters today, deciding who is and who is not anti-Semitic. It's quite amazing, and I'll have to quote a favorite rabbi of mine, and you can use this if you want. It rolls off the tongue easier if you're Jewish, and that is Rabbi Lapin, who is a conservative rabbi, one of the few outspoken politically conservative rabbis. The most conservative rabbis tend to be Orthodox, so they're not very outspoken. And he was famous as saying the very fact that 78% of Jews vote Democrat is proof positive that the myth of Jewish higher intelligence is purely a myth.
I think that's pretty funny.
Yeah, but it's unfortunately true. I like to tell people it's the cross we have to bear, you know. So many Jews vote Democrat. And there's just this, it's a long story. I have to save it for another show. But a lot of Jews just ignore the Jew hatred and the anti-Israel sentiments. But yet the left is constantly dividing us in these little ID, you know, identity politics groups, which leads me to Hispanics and Latin Americans. Tell us about that, because a lot of us know that the Hispanic or the Latin American personal tendencies tend to be much more conservative, really, and yet they have voted traditionally Democrat as well.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, I think that, there's been kind of, I guess, either misinformation or a lack of solid information in the Latino communities as far as, you know, where they should be voting and where their ideologies are based. I think it's been a lot of identity politics, and a lot of the demonization of white America has led a lot of, Latino voters, unfortunately, to vote Democrat. But if you look at it as far as where the values of conservatism fall in with the values of Latin, you know, Latino Americans, you would think that they would be more conservative. They're very pro-traditional marriage. They're very pro-family. You know, they're very Christian or Catholic. You know, those types of traditional values that you would find, a kinship with a conservative. And the other part of it, too, is the with this issue with the illegals. I think that you have a lot of good law-abiding Hispanic, voters who are starting to resent the fact that you have these line cutters, you know, people that went ahead and went through the difficult process to be naturalized and are very patriotic and proud of the fact that they became citizens, are kind of being, you know, trumped here in a sense, to pardon the pun, but by people who are just walking over the border and, you know, signing up for American entitlement. You know, it's kind of ridiculous.
I would think so, and there are some stunning numbers of the number of illegals that are on public assistance.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that has to bother anybody who's a citizen, naturalized or otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Absolutely. It's crazy when you consider, you know, that then the people that are here that aren't on entitlement don't even pay into the system to offset, you know, the illegals that are getting welfare. I mean, most of the people, the illegals that are in this country, they work, they live on bare bones minimum. There's usually many people living in the same facility. It could be like one apartment with like 10 or 12 people in it. They work for the day, they get paid in cash, and they go ahead and they wire their money over to their country. You know, so I mean, the United States and the United States taxpayer is subsidizing and offsetting all of this, you know, and these people get away with not paying a penny into the system.
What's your theory? Most people know that the Democrats, it's not even a secret anymore, that the Democrats are pushing open borders, and therefore all illegal immigration, even the immigration of criminals. But I think on the conservative side, it's deeper than that. They just want cheap labor. What do you think?
I think the cheap labor aspect is a big part of it. I mean, and I think that you have, you know, a lot of politicians, legislators who, you know, quite frankly, are the puppets of the Chamber of Commerce on both sides,
right,
and they want to make sure that these people are here. I think on the left side, there's also the issue of opening the voting base, you know, making it larger for them. I think they see these people as future Democrat voters, so that's a big part of it as well.
That's key.
I think that what you've seen in California, where you have Jerry Brown, installing motor voter laws as of 2015 when you register to vote, or I'm sorry, when you get your driver's license, you're registered to vote. He did that in concert with going ahead and making it legal for illegal immigrants to go ahead and drive. So I wouldn't, you know, be surprised if there's probably hundreds of thousands of illegal immigrants on the voter rolls now, which is a very dangerous proposition.
The same 2 million or so voters that supposedly helped Hillary get the popular vote came out of California, more than likely.
Exactly, yes.
Yeah. I think there's a globalism part of it as well on both sides of the aisle. I think that they're imposing a globalist agenda on us without our consent. And it's hard figuring exactly what all of that has to do with, but it doesn't have to do with allegiance to this country. That's for sure. And I agree with you. I mean, I think it is, as I said, it's not a secret that Democrats are trying to change the demographics in this country because they need the undervote. They need people always to be dependent on government who are reliable Democrat voters. Let me ask you another question here. And this is great. When I heard you talk, and you're just so articulate and glib, you know, you can talk on almost any subject. I was thinking, my God, you know, if you were, and you probably are to some extent, the Latino version of Candace Owens, right? Because Candace Owens is on a mission. That's what makes her so effective. She is on a mission to enlighten a group of people that have for so many years voted reliably. Matter of fact, I found the quote in the first half hour I couldn't find during the break. I'll just read this, and then I want to hear from you what might be your strategy for reaching out to a very different kind of demographic. And I hate thinking this way because that's not how Republicans think. We don't care. We care about character. We don't care about what group you happen to belong to, whether it's female or anything else. But the Democrats have bastardized the system to such an extent that someone like Candace Owens is very obviously effective. So here's a quote from her at the top of her Facebook page. Far right, that's what they're calling her now. Allow me to clarify. I believe the Black community can do it without handouts. I believe the Democrats have strapped us to our past to prevent us from our futures. And I won't stop fighting until all Black Americans see that. I am not far right. I'm free. Isn't that great?
That's fantastic. I actually really like that. And I think, like, that speaks to what I mentioned earlier with the Kanye West talking about deprogramming. You know,
right.
Trying to change people and not have them think in that manner anymore. You know, and it's the truth. I mean, listen, the Blacks in America are some of the more talented people in the country. I mean, you look at it from a pop culture perspective, music, sports, you know, industry, you know, even medicine, Dr. Carson. There's all these examples of all these brilliant Black Americans, you know, but the caricature that, you know, the Democrats want to portray is that everybody is like, you know, either needing a handout or that they're, you know, they're portrayed as if you're a successful Black American, you're somehow right. An Uncle Tom, that you're supposed to be sagging your pants and acting like some kind of thug, or otherwise you're not Black enough. I mean, that's shameful, quite frankly.
Exactly. I was particularly appalled because I have a showbiz background. I was utterly appalled at the demagoguery around the Oscars that they made sure to bring affirmative action into the Oscars so that anybody who won after that was suspect because you didn't know if they were winning because of their color or because they were a political statement. And the truth of the matter is that, yes, there was absolutely racism in Sidney Poitier's time, who I loved, and Sammy Davis Jr., who I loved. And most white people did. But today, to claim that there's that kind of racism going on is preposterous. If anything, it's you get a pass because you're black. And if I were a self-respecting black person, of which is the great majority, I'd be deeply offended by that. I would. So we gotta start wrapping this up a little bit. So what would you do as the so-called, I hate to even insult you that way, Latino Candace Owens, what kind of things would you tell the Latino community about conservatism that they really need to hear from you?
Honestly, they're going to be punished, that they're going to be punished by God for voting for the party that blew God, the party that kills babies. And quite frankly, they should be offended that the Democrat Party thinks that they're so helpless that they just want to grow government to the point where we'll be basically adult babies, where we need the government to come around and put the bottle in our mouth. Otherwise, we're incapable of going and getting our own meal. It's literally offensive to me, the platform of the Democrats in the way that they treat blacks and Hispanics and other minorities. You know, they basically just want us eating out of their hands, you know, basically as if we were their pets. I mean, I feel that they don't respect or value our vote. And a lot of it has to do with, you know, it's funny how they say white privilege. I never hear about white privilege in the conservative community. It's always the liberals that are putting that out. And I think that they put it out because they do think that they're better than minorities. You know, there's plenty of poor people in this country that are white. It's not like if you're white, you're automatically affluent and rich. I mean, the majority of people who are on welfare dependency programs in this country actually are white. You just have a much higher rate of incidence in the minority community.
You are a delight, Julio Rivera. I wish we had more time. where can people contact you, read your stuff? What can you tell people so they can get a hold of you?
Okay, fantastic. Well, they can tweet at me at ReactionaryTMS, and this is just get this carefully. Oh yeah, it's Julio. Basically, OHYEAHITS Julio JULIO. That's my Twitter. Oh yeah, it's Julio. ReactionaryTimes.com, and you can check out my columns are you know, Washington Times, Washington Examiner, The Hill. In Toronto Sun, American Thinker, and a lot of places. But my main blog is at Newsmax.com, The Austere Constructionist. I have actually a piece that went up yesterday asking the question, what would the elections look like if we voted the Tuesday after tax day, which a lot of people were getting a kick out of.
Oh, that's excellent. I will definitely look that up. Thank you so much for being with us, Julio Rivera. I mean, he's an up-and-coming star, too. What a pleasure to have you. That's all the time.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Oh, it's my pleasure. That's all the time we have for this edition of Spouting Off. And we look forward to you joining us next week when there will be a whole bunch more to spout off about here on Spouting Off.